Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to here on youtube.com/Steven Larson. We're also available on the iTunes, on Podbean, Stitcher Radio. We're also on the SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Steven Larson. All the links are in the description. We also have a Patreon going on, Larson. We were actually going to live stream this to our wonderful $5 and up patrons because they get it every single week. However, YouTube is being a son of a bitch right now, trying to get this thing live streamed. So we just figured they got a live stream of this yesterday.
Maybe we'll do a live stream for Dirt Sheet tomorrow. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do about that. Anyways, at our Patreon, you know, you kick in money to support the cause and you get all sorts of rewards. The $50 patrons t-shirts are right now at the printers. They're being printed up. They're being screen printed with that ink. This is none of that iron-on crap.
Oh, it's a silk screen.
This is silk screen.
Nice.
This is beautiful craftsmanship.
Nice.
We hope so, anyways. So, yeah, there's all sorts of other rewards. You guys can check that out at patreon.com/Steven Larson.
I'm kind of anxious to get into this today.
I know, me too. Do we need, like, a new sound for SmackDown cap?
For Smack cap.
For Smack cap.
Sure.
Yeah, how about this?
All right, that'll work for now.
SmackDown cap.
Smack cap.
There you go. Oh, boy. Okay, so let's set the stage here, Larson.
Let's do general impressions, because I think we can spend at least a half hour just talking about it, where our general impressions of the revamped SmackDown Live TV is.
Okay.
Before we get into specifics about what actually happened on the show,
let's talk
about, because I know the most noticeable change.
Well, hold on a second.
What?
When I said set the stage, I just mean to say, okay, this is the first week of post-brand split programming.
Yeah.
You, yesterday on the show, we provided you with our very enthusiastic, we were very effusive over Raw. To us, it struck almost every correct chord.
Yeah.
And so we were both hoping, we were both optimistic that SmackDown, left to their own devices, would really come out and
play an equally melodious
right
song,
exactly
so to say.
I like
to
melodious
keep, to
that's
keep
a great
the,
word
the music metaphor going
right
but instead it was a discordant
that didn't happen
avant-garde, if you will.
there were things about it that were, I would say, avant-garde, like if it could be appreciated on a level of oddball.
Well, I mentioned this before we started that let's get into the stylistic choices they made in the show right now, because the abundance of crane shots, like the camera on the crane is their new A camera. It's their new primary camera. On Raw, it's a stationary camera that's probably like halfway up the lower bowl of the stadium. You get the whole ring.
And they built drama using the crane.
Yeah. And Raw, they used the crane and then like a tracking camera that was like at ring height.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Intermittently.
Mm-hmm.
But the A camera on SmackDown is on a crane, and it just kind of moves back and forth.
Yeah, and that's the when he says A camera, the main camera,
primary
we see,
camera,
the
they
primary
use
thing,
the
thing that you see on.
They
the
still
show.
Cut the close-ups and cameras around the ring, but that's the primary camera.
Right.
That camera bugged the living shit out of me for many reasons. First of all, it makes the ring look very small. It reminds me of I think I'm watching TNA.
Yeah.
Because the ring in TNA always looks small because it's got the six sides.
Yeah, it's six sided.
And it looks tiny compared to the WWE ring. But this looked small. And I don't know if it's necessarily strictly the use of the crane. I think it's a combination of the crane, whatever the lens they used to shoot with.
Right.
And the positioning of the camera more often than not is like diagonal to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking from turnbuckle to turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes everything seem small. And on top of that, it seems like you're right. Like the framing reminds me of a wrestling show shot in the 70s because you don't get the apron. You just get the ring.
Right.
And I think they're doing it to make it seem intimate.
Yeah.
It seems invasive. Like we're in the wrestler's space.
Not only does it seem invasive, it exposes much of what they're doing.
It's like watching a play from the stage. Yeah. Like you get your seat and you move to the stage to watch the play there.
This was most evident to me personally during the Becky Lynch Natalya match.
I couldn't get all the way through that match because of it.
I know for a fact these two women can go at it. Yeah. I know they can work. Natalya is one of the best in the business, and Becky Lynch is I love Becky Lynch. Yeah. She's top five for me right now, maybe even top three. But to watch them perform using the setup that they had made it look. Look, we all know that this is, you can call it what you want, fake, choreographed, stage, whatever you want to call it. There needs to be an illusion that this is real. And this camera took that illusion completely away.
Yeah. I before we started, I compared it to like they were trying to do like a French New Wave thing.
Yeah.
Or by showing the unreality of wrestling.
The underreality.
It speaks more to our own reality.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think that was the goal.
It was, I agree with it. The thing that you said that really I want to emphasize from my point of view is you said it came off as small. Every aspect of this came off as small.
NXT shows feel larger in scope.
NXT shows have such a unique look that if not larger, they feel more vital. It's like you're dealing with a smaller crowd, but they're in such a fevered pitch because NXT plays to the strengths. NXT's roster is nothing to speak highly of in terms of their depth. They have practically no depth, but in an hour they pack so much. SmackDown has 2 hours, which should be cutting the fat from what they're used to.
Yeah.
Now you have a depleted roster, but you have a wealth of good young talent that they can work
with. Well, and the top of the card, the top five or six. Spots.
I still maintain four. Okay, what do you have? Dean Ambrose, John Cena, AJ Styles, Bray Wyatt,
Randy Orton.
Okay, Randy Orton.
So top five.
Top five, and you know what? As much as we dog them, you can throw the Miz in there.
Okay,
and you can maybe put Dolph in there.
Top seven.
Dolph in there. Yeah.
If you look at the top of the card, it's comparable to what Raw has. The difference is the depth below that. The mid card.
Right.
The mid card of SmackDown is seriously lacking.
Yeah.
There's zero depth there. It's all. Young wrestlers who this is their opportunity to show what they got.
Yeah, Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
You've got the Vaudevillains.
Yeah, you've got American Alpha.
You got American Alpha.
But mixed in with that, you have Kane.
Mm-hmm.
We know what Kane can do.
Yeah.
He's a decent utility guy at this point.
Yeah.
We have Eric Rowan in there.
You have the Ascension in there.
The Ascension.
Nobody wants to see.
I didn't even include the Miz in that group. I wouldn't put him in the top five or six.
Okay. All right.
So
see, in that case, my thing is this, and I know it's funny because I'm going to contradict myself here, but up until last night, I wouldn't have put. Here's my thing: the six pack challenge. So the setup is this: Dean Ambrose is the world champion, obviously, and then they're going to do a six pack challenge, which is I didn't know it was referred to as a six pack challenge.
Yeah, I've
heard
that
six
before.
People. What is it? Five way? What is a five way?
I don't think there's not proper nomenclature for that yet, as far as I'm aware. Remember, we had a thing on the show.
I know. What is a five way? But I didn't know it was a six pack. So you got a six pack challenge with six competitors.
What's something that comes in fives?
Basketball teams?
Yeah.
I don't know. Squad?
Because it's like a six pack. That's the thing. You six pack soda, six pack beer.
Squad squabble? I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't fucking care. Six-pack challenge. And they had Cena, AJ, Bray.
Corbin.
Okay. This is my problem. Cena, AJ, Bray all deserve to be number one contenders for the belt.
Yeah.
Those are all legitimate. You know, they can stake a claim to the number one contendership. Dolph shouldn't have been in there. Because anybody who couldn't have even been whiffing... The previous on Raw, the four both fatal four ways. That's eight people.
Yeah,
those eight people deserve to be in those fatal four ways.
Yes.
Those are legitimate contenders.
Yeah.
Move over to SmackDown. You have three. You really have three: Bray, Cena, AJ.
Yeah, and Orton, but Orton's involved.
And Orton, but Orton's
in
involved. You're right.
Now,
so that's, so in my opinion, four people stack up to. You know, those can be the top four in each brand. That's what you got.
Yeah.
After that, Raw keeps on going and SmackDown doesn't. Because you got Dolph, who shouldn't be sniffing a world title.
No.
You have Baron Corbin, who should not be sniffing a world title. And then they do a battle royal to determine the final entrant, and that's Apollo Crews. And I'm actually on board with Apollo Crews because he can be... He's not Finn Balor. He's obviously not Finn Balor. But he could be SmackDown's Finn Balor.
Yeah.
He really could be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And... And so, and I know we've had the thing with Baron Corbin versus Apollo Crews. Like, I'm done playing that joke. Okay. I Apollo Crews, I still feel they brought him up a year too early. And yeah. I know you feel the same way, but he's there. He's there. And in terms of just letting a guy sink or swim, I think he'll probably swim. You know what I mean? I think he'll probably
swim. Had, like, right now, I think Corbin, we kind of know what his ceiling is.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of looking at it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Whereas Apollo Crews feels like there's a lot of untapped potential there.
Right.
I mean, we all know what he can do in the ring.
Right.
In terms of his character, there's a lot that could still be done.
I kind of see Apollo Crews as a Neville type.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that his personality is such that given some depth of writing, because, dude, what happened after he won the Battle Royal? What did it, Renee Young came and interviewed him. I'm the happiest guy alive right now. You got to stop that shit. You got to stop that shit. I forgot who was on Twitter said, yeah, his gimmick is happy robot. He's always just happy. You know, get out of that. You know, say something like, say, mimic every post football, basketball, baseball game. They say, you know, it's a tremendous opportunity. I'm ready to, you know, Finn Balor's never really said anything all that special.
Yeah.
You know, and and that's one kind of issue with him is he's never really said anything that's all that special besides the standard, oh, I want opportunities. I want to take the most of them, blah, blah, blah. Do something like that. I'm so happy right now. Nobody cares about that. But I like Apollo Crews, and I think Apollo Crews can be a guy that SmackDown could... SmackDown has some good young guys.
They just need to invest in developing their characters.
And TNA did that spectacularly back when it was Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Chris Daniels, Low Key, all those guys. And that's what SmackDown can kind of... We joke, yeah, they're kind of the TNA. They kind of remind us of TNA and that they're small. But number one, don't put on a Battle Royal if you know your talent isn't that deep. Don't make a six-man challenge. What you said was right. It's as if it was reactionary to Raw.
Yeah.
It's like they Raw had a couple of fatal four-ways to fight for the number one contendership.
Let's increase the scope of our number one contender thing we're going to do.
So, but you can't. You can't compete with that, so don't do that. That's not your strength.
So while we're on this
who's the best talker in SmackDown?
Bray Wyatt.
John Cena.
Bray Wyatt.
Okay. Who do you want to trot out at the beginning of your show to hype people up?
Oh, John Cena.
John Cena.
And then have Bray Wyatt interrupt them.
Exactly.
Something like that.
And there you go. There's a beautiful storyline you can tell that you can, you know, you're revisiting things.
All right, let's take turns rebooking in, you know, generalities, SmackDown.
Don't start out the show. I'll go first. Don't start out the show with Bray Wyatt. And I'm sorry, don't start the show. I said Bray Wyatt. Don't start the show with Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan, who come off. I'm sorry. I know that people like Shano and I like people like Daniel Bryan. They come off as a couple of startup CEO nerds. That's what they come off. They're backstage. It's about you. And then they turn and the camera follows them out to the arena and everybody's cheering. And it's about you. And they pipe in Daniel Bryan's music, just reminding everybody that he's not going to wrestle.
And it reminds everybody that they're going to get the show over on the backs of Dean Ambrose, Shane McMahon, and Daniel Bryan.
Exactly.
The popularity of those three guys.
Exactly. Start the show out, and I know people are going to be booing him, but start out the show with John Cena.
Talking about opportunity, how this is now an opportunity for everybody.
Let him do his U.S. Championship Open Challenge spiel. Do that, because Cena's always going to get half the boo birds in.
Yeah.
But then he can turn them around. He's great at that.
But then right out the gate, you're getting all the crowd involved in the show.
Exactly. Exactly. So you come out with Cena, and then like you said... Bray Wyatt interrupts him. If it was me, this is... Fuck, man. This is how you make an impact. Okay? DMX music kicks in. Or whoever it is at AJ Styles, right? AJ Styles comes out and he says, Hold on, John Cena.
He can talk about how John Cena is buried other talents in the past.
Exactly.
So why is he talking about opportunity?
Now, AJ... Exactly.
And that ties into the general theme of what they want SmackDown to be, where it's... As JBL said many times last night, a meritocracy.
Oh my God, he said it so many times. It was so fucking annoying.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so Cena's out there. AJ Styles comes out there. This is exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
Okay? While Cena's focusing on AJ, the two newest members of the club show up, and they are... I don't know who.
People on the roster now, let's say...
I know, people on the roster now.
Corbin.
Okay, let's say Corbin.
And...
Corbin and, like, my first instinct is Cruz, but I want Cruz to be a solo guy.
Yeah.
My first instinct is to say Corbin and Because Corbin's a mercenary.
Yeah.
Corbin's in it for the money.
Yeah.
And the club has money because they have merchandise now.
Yeah.
Corbin and... just one other solo guy. I was going to say Heath Slater.
Yeah.
Corbin and... no, not Heath Slater. That's horrible. Come on. Corbin and...
Bo Dallas.
Bo Dallas.
Is he even
no,
on SmackDown?
He's terrible. He needs to be built seriously again. Come on. What's one other guy? Who else is on the SmackDown roster?
Shelton Benjamin right then.
Bring in Shelton Benjamin right then. No, well, okay. Hold on.
I'm just trying to think, because that was...
this week, I'm debuting this my newest member of the Bullet Club. Okay? Right now, it could just be AJ and Baron.
Okay.
Right now, it could be just them. Yeah, money speaks, John. Money speaks.
Yeah.
Baron destroys John Cena. That sets up Baron Corbin, who, all joking aside, they're treating like a number one bad guy right now. Or top bad guy.
Yeah, top three.
Exactly. So Baron Corbin comes in as the newest member of the club. I told you we're expanding.
Yeah.
Okay, that story's set up.
Yeah.
Run Shelton Benjamin's video package. Although, if it was us, why are we waiting a week?
He would have debuted. Well, it didn't say that. It just said coming soon.
Exactly.
I mean, granted, he could have some booking, some obligations mm-hmm. that he has to take care of before he can debut. Then don't run anything. Don't mm-hmm. run a promo. Just have him debut.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they think that people, you know,
maybe next week he's the latest member of the club, and there sort of turns into sort of like a double alpha thing, because you need Shelton Benjamin to be a high profile guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So also, him, Callan, he's like, hey, I'm in the last 6 years, I'm a world travel guy now too. I've cut my teeth or whatever in Japan. You know, I've been around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And make it like equals, like the club is, you know, like Gallows and Anderson, they're equals, you know?
Yeah.
There you go. Shelton Benjamin, AJ Styles, and Baron Corbin as of next week are in the club. There you go.
Yeah.
There's your first segment.
Yeah. Second segment after commercial, we gotta get Dean on there. Soon.
Mm-hmm. Then maybe you trot out Shane and Dan O'Brien to introduce their champion, Dean Ambrose.
And then you have Bray Wyatt come out.
Yes.
And kind of run down the whole thing they got going there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that leads to Dean and Bray going on to SummerSlam, where there's the possibility that Bray could win the title.
I want to wait on Bray having a shot at the title till WrestleMania. Have him go 8 months and just destroy the entire SmackDown roster.
Okay.
Just annihilate them all.
Who does Dean face at SummerSlam then?
Who's available?
Nobody. That's why it has to be Bray.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, let's say this. Let's keep with what they're doing. Let's go with Dolph.
Okay. Yeah.
As the number one guy for SummerSlam. Dolph turns heel night one.
Yeah.
There you go. Dolph turns heel. I don't know what they do. But Dean comes out and he says, Who's gonna challenge him? Dean comes out.
Dean
projects the spirit of sportsmanship, but as soon as Dean turns his back, he takes a chair to him. There you go.
There you go.
You got your SummerSlam match, and you build up Dean to the point, or build up Dolph to the point where it's like, oh, maybe he could take.
And
Dolph
they can. If Bray comes out and starts wreaking havoc, then Shane and Daniel Bryan be like, no, this is not how we do things.
Right.
And just keep pushing that match off because of that.
Exactly.
Something like that.
That's the only time you see Shane and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
All right. Next segment. Becky versus Natalya,
mm-hmm.
that's okay. Okay, you keep the camera the way it should be,
and I don't mind having all the rest of the women's roster come out mm-hmm. and kind of introduce themselves. I thought that was decent.
Right, exactly.
Especially Eva Marie's intro.
Right,
that was brilliant.
But
hilarious.
Either at the tail end of that, or before that, say to kick off our new women's division with this new women's title, Universal title, whatever they want to call it, interdimensional title, the women's intercontinental title.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. And they can prove, hey, you know what? You want to show the women's champion over there on Raw how it's done? You elevate this Intercontinental title to make it better than that belt.
Yep.
Or the Women's United States Championship.
Yep.
I don't know what.
Something,
but you introduce the belt, you have a match, the other women come out, and it turns into a scrum. Not just introducing people. And granted, the Eva Marie thing was funny, but I don't want funny. I want drama.
No, imagine this. If they're all in the ring fighting.
And it's going on.
And then they all stop to pay attention
to
her. That'd be great.
That'd be fantastic.
That'd be good.
That'd be fantastic.
Next segment, American Alpha in some capacity.
Next segment, vaudevillains come out. They get on the mic. They say, we're going to take this show back to an era where men are men or some shit like that. Whatever they say.
And then American Alpha comes out
because they're fresh. They're new. They represent today. They take on the vaudevillains. They fight all the way through SummerSlam and to the Survivor Series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Ascension does something. The Ascension introduced their latest member, Heath Slater. Because, I'm sorry, at that point, you're sort of out of, you know, who
well,
else
you
have?
Well, you can keep the Miz TV segment with Orton, but ditch the whole part with Miz interviewing himself. That was terrible.
Have Miz interview Randy Orton straight up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There you go.
You can still have their match. That was fine.
Yeah. Have a singles match. Kane takes on Kalisto. Set up a Kane versus Kalisto. The demon from hell, and you get Kalisto over.
Yeah.
There you go. That could be a pre-match, a pre-show match for SummerSlam right there.
Yeah. And the main event, you could have Dean doing an open challenge type thing, saying, hey, let's have a title match here in the first episode of SmackDown. Dolph comes out,
yeah.
Turns heel,
yeah.
Closes the show, laying out Ambrose with the chair.
There you go.
Setting up Survivor Series.
So there you go. But instead, we got, I mean, are we going to run this down? We should, I guess, run it down.
I guess so.
So I think we left off, we had a video package of Shelton Benjamin. After the Battle Royal, Apollo Crews won, said, yep. I'm Happy Robot. They should do an integration with Mr. Robot.
It's on the same network.
Happy Robot, Mr. Robot.
We didn't mention that Shane officially announced Backlash is happening.
Yeah, that's right. He officially said that the pay-per-views are having their own brand pay-per-views, you know, and his first one is Backlash.
Let's talk about these interviews they did, the backstage interviews they did with all the participants in the six-pack challenge, because I'm guessing they're hearkening back to the days of 80s WWF where talents would talk to camera with backdrops behind them.
Yeah.
It kind of didn't work then. It only worked based on the power of the personalities
they've
involved.
They've been doing this on SmackDown for a while now, though.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. But usually they happen... They'll have a match going, and they'll do the picture-in-picture, and they'll have them talk during the match.
That's true.
But you have Renee Young there. She is a great interviewer.
I know.
And she was on the show twice.
Okay, let's talk about the announcing for a second. Here's the thing. I've said before that I'm not huge. I like Mauro Ranallo. I'm not over the moon about Mauro Ranallo like everybody else is. I appreciate what he does, but I do think that he does it a bit too much. Some of his metaphors are just like,
it's the pop culture references.
He went down faster than a plate of chicken wings or some crap
that. Yeah, that was a bit much.
That shit is a bit much. JBL.
I appreciate Moro's knowledge because he actually knows what the moves are called.
I know. And here's the thing.
Yeah, that's great.
Here's the thing that I like about Moro that I wish he would do, that he did. And I mentioned this before in the show, that some people thought there was some tension between Lawler and Moro, which I didn't watch close enough to understand that. But the things that I did see that I did right with Lawler was Lawler's a fucking legend. Lawler is the man in Memphis. He is God in Memphis. He is the fucking, he's the wrestling God. He really is. Mine that knowledge, you know? Like, Mauro, during his run with Lawler, would say, you know, Jerry, did you have any in your career?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. JBL has been around for a long time. Mauro could do the same thing with JBL. I don't really like a lot of JBL's commentary.
No, I don't.
He says
either.
Stupid shit at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And that's just the bottom line. I think JBL is actually a really, really smart guy. And if you see him on his interview show, The Legends with JBL, he's a fantastic interviewer. I like him when he's not trying, when he's not actively trying to be funny. And that's what he does. And it's just annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he wasn't always that way. I feel like when he first started commentating, he wasn't
that. Yeah, I don't think he was either.
And then they have Otunga. And you know what? You and I were both Otunga guys when he was wrestling and he would get on the mic. He was a funny dude. He was self-aware.
Yeah.
He had a good, keen sense of humor.
Yeah.
He wasn't the greatest at anything, but he was good. And I thought he had a high upside.
Yeah.
He comes off as very amateurish on the announced team. Raw's announced team comes off like they're calling a really dramatic show. There's no, the goofiness is gone from Raw, and I love that the goofiness is gone.
Yeah.
David Otunga, he looks crap. Like, he had like a purple t-shirt on, then he's like, oh, I'm wearing blue today. And you look at him, you're like, it's not really blue, number one. And then he's got like a weird scarf on. Like, just the presentation to me felt like for all those guys.
Was their announce table at ringside?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, which is fine. Which is fine. Make it different than Raw, that's fine.
Was SmackDown set Raw's old set?
I don't know. I got a lot of people on Twitter talking about the set, and I, for whatever reason, I just didn't pay attention to the set itself.
If it's not the same, it's really familiar.
It to me, like, the entire presentation of it just felt small. Even the weird titles at the beginning, like, with the... It was too much.
Oh, yeah, with Bray's glowing eyes and all that kind of stuff.
And, like, all the quantum leaping shit happening, and then it goes into the arena, it blows up or something, and it looks weird, and... It was like vomit on the screen. It was like blue vomit on the screen. And the SmackDown logo, anybody who plays with Photoshop knows this. If you don't hit shift while you're trying to scale a word, it'll distort the...
The aspect ratio.
The aspect ratio.
Yeah.
And then it looks like they have like a normal logo and then went like this. Somebody didn't hit shift. The entire presentation is horrible. And then combine that with the booking towards their weaknesses instead of they're literally booking to their weaknesses.
I know. Anyways, back to those backstage interviews. No good. Especially when you got guys like Baron Corbin, who's not really that good of a talker.
Yeah.
Have Renee Young out there. Yeah. So at least she can provide some sparks, some personality. Maybe ask him a question that will.
I didn't. I was on.
Surprising.
I left the. I had to leave the room really quick. But I understand that Baron Corbin talked. What did he say? He said something about money, right?
Yeah, that's his thing. Yeah. He's just in it for the money.
Like if he projected that physically, but his clothes literally look like he got them out of the garbage can.
It looked like he bought them at the Army Navy surplus store.
Baron Corbin actively looks poor. Maybe that should be part of his shtick. He's like, I need clothes. I need money. Everybody else has his fancy shit.
How about this? This is what he does. After he wins a match, you do promo videos with him going out and enjoying the fruits of his labor.
Right.
Like he'll go and maybe he'll get some hair plugs.
Right. Yeah.
Fix his baldness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Go get some new clothes.
That'll pad out the show. Yeah. He goes to like...
And more importantly, give him some character.
I think at a certain point... You can only help a guy so much. It's Baron Corbin.
I understand.
You know, like he should just not talk, maybe, and that'll like maybe, and then we can all just assume he has character, and he's just not, you know,
he's. But he's
just,
not very he's good.
Not letting
he's
us
not
in.
Very good at just standing there and looking menacing. He just looks bored.
He looks vaguely confused and bored, which is a weird combo to have. How could he be confused and bored at the same time? But he managed to pull both of them off.
Yeah, I know. All right, I think the only thing we haven't really covered yet is the Heath Slater segment.
Which I loved. I thought it was that and Eva Marie's weird disembodied voiceover guy were my two favorite moments of the night, which is really not saying much because Heath Slater cracked me. He comes in. There's some jobber floating around the ring.
Yeah, why is he in the ring?
He's
we never get about. We never get his name.
We don't get an intro. We don't get a name. We don't know who he's supposed to be fighting. Is he having like a solo tryout of some sort?
It could be. He's going to go in there and just start taking bumps, like flat back bumps in the ring and start doing flips and stuff like they do at the Performance Center.
Exactly. And so this guy's in the ring. Some dude is in the ring. It should have been James Ellsworth from Raw. Like
yeah,
SmackDown should have
or it should have been
Sonny Boy.
Skyler and Hollis.
Skyler and Hollis. Have Skyler and Hollis be the latest members of the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Hot young talent. Yeah. Skyler and Hoss. Anyways, Lump is in the ring doing jack shit, taking flat back bumps by himself. Heath Slater comes in and destroys him. He kicks him out of the ring, basically, which is the first time Heath Slater's ever beat anybody. And he gets on the mic and he starts running down SmackDown and Raw saying, I wasn't drafted anywhere. I'm the hottest free agent there is. I'm the one man band.
Yeah.
And I'm loving every second of it. CEO, startup CEO Shane O'Mac comes down, who looks like he's about to ask for some money on Shark Tank. He comes out and says, if you want a job, send in your resume. And Heath Slater, apparently his new gimmick is he can't hear very well.
Because
he says, you want me to sign my resume?
And then he advises Shane to pay $9.99, which I'm sure Shane gets the network for free, being a WWE employee.
You'd think.
And to look
but,
up...
But Vince never gave him hugs, so why would he comp him a subscription
well, I mean,
to the network?
You gotta give him something.
Yeah.
Heath suggests that Shane go to the network and look at his past work.
Right.
If he wants to see his resume, which...
Right. According to Brian Zane from Wrestling with Regret, if you, the first thing you type in when you go to the network, when you type in Heath Slater, the first thing that comes up is him getting beat up by Aldo Rose's bunny.
Not the best idea, Heath.
No. So anyways, Heath is out there, and then some guy who has like little tiny arms.
No, the jobber somehow magically transformed himself into Rhino, and Rhino comes in and gores Heath Slater.
That's right, that's right.
And so, then Shane says, that's the hottest free agent in wrestling.
So in my mind, see how Lacey was watching Pan's Labyrinth last night. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Okay, remember the part where the frog like vomits up like some goo?
Mm-hmm.
And just, well, that's what I imagine Rhino came out of that, came out of that jobber like. Like the jobber's skin just went... Like Rhino's face came out of the jobber's mouth,
yeah,
going like that, and there's just like this weird skin of a skin and tights of a jobber. And Baron Corbin's like, "Oh, some cool tights. I need money." That's what it should be. It shouldn't be with Baron Corbin. It shouldn't be, "I'm all about money." It should be, "I need money."
Character.
Is there any overtime?
Character.
I mean, you can help clean up the arena.
I'll wrestle
take it
main
down.
Event, main event, and superstars.
Yeah.
And SmackDown will go to NXT too.
Yeah. I need money. Hey,
oh goodness.
Bo Dallas.
All right, I think we covered most everything.
Oh god, that was a lot of fun. I'll be honest. If SmackDown's like that every week, then we can have a lot of fun on this Wednesday show.
Yeah, I think we could.
This could be. Because, dude, I would have loved to have seen the show that we just booked.
I know.
Here's the latest members of the Bullet Club. You don't have that.
Create excitement. There really wasn't any excitement.
There was no excitement. Cena is a money player.
He was barely on the show.
He was barely on the fucking show.
Same with Ambrose. Barely on the show.
And AJ's saying, but number one, nobody says, I love AJ. I love him. But nobody says beat up John Cena quite like Carl Anderson.
I know.
Beat up John Cena.
I know.
My hot Asian wife. They need to let him roll more, dude. They need more.
It's really a shame they broke those guys up.
It really is. They were so good together.
They were just hitting their stride, too.
And I know, just hitting their stride. And it's like, they're going to say, we're going to expand, then let them expand.
Yeah.
Not just
and do it right away.
Yeah.
Questions. Are you ready for questions?
I'm ready for
we
questions,
have a lot of them.
Man. I'm hot right now.
Ben. SmackDown felt like old Raw. JBL, nonsensical yelling, camera shots, missing action, too much downtime. Can it be fixed?
Yeah, do what we say. Do what we say. I'm going to design a new SmackDown logo. That's going to be my new thing. My new friend at workshops are all going to be wrestling-based.
Okay.
Fix SmackDown. Fix the merchandise.
I just feel like, first and foremost, they have to fix the presentation of the show. Because there was points where I, like during matches, I couldn't watch it. Like the Becky versus Natalya match, they can go. They can wrestle.
They can wrestle, dude.
I enjoy watching them wrestle, but the crane kind of moving all over the place for no reason. It's like, I can't watch this.
I
fast forwarded through. I couldn't watch it.
I
couldn't get through. A lot of the matches I couldn't get through. I mean, like, the main event was okay, but still, it just felt invasive. It felt like the artifice was being exposed.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And if that's their goal, then... No, thank you. Right?
No bueno.
Yeah,
I agree.
You can't.
I totally agree.
That. Bellaholic. Was it a mistake making Dolph win?
No, I still say no. In the fact that what you're saying is true, there's probably no way he's going to win at SummerSlam.
None.
But I have an open mind. I think that this. We've all said that Dolph hit his ceiling a while ago, and they were going to just let him not do anything because of his concussions. I like to think that, number one, like I said, he's still one of the best workers in the business.
Yeah, I still like him.
And I've dogged him before. I've dogged Dog Ziggler before. I think he got really waylaid by that whole Rusev thing.
Yeah.
He got real, like, I hated that Rusev
thing. The only person to make it out of that feud intact, really, was Rusev.
Rusev, I know. Because Rusev is dope. No,
I think we're the only two people who thought he improved his stock during that.
I think you're right.
Feud.
He did. Dog Ziggler. I got a cold fish. His name is Lana. That's great.
Yep.
Do you think it was a mistake making Dolph number one contender?
No, because I think there's more money in having a Dean Bray feud later.
Okay.
I don't think it was the best idea, but given the options they had to work with, I'm okay with it. And I think they can put on a good match at SummerSlam. But like I said, Dolph has zero chance of winning.
I would have liked, because I think AJ and Cena still have shit to do.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen Dolph or Cruz, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because Cruz is the young dude. You know?
Yeah, I would have been super
People
happy.
People are shocked right now. Steve, you're behind. You're all in on Cruz.
I would have been super happy if Cruz.
Would you have been more or less happy than Cruz himself? I don't think any. That's a trick. Nobody's happier than Cruz.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's his entire fucking gimmick.
Nathan Broomfield, do you feel that Dolph, king of selling Ziggler, is even worthy of a title shot? He feels the match will be so lame. I don't think it'll be a lame match. Those guys.
I think it'll be a good.
It'll be a really
Dolph
high.
Can put on a good match.
It'll be a fast-paced, high-octane match. Yeah. Those guys can put on a really fast-paced match. It'll be fine. Jerry HHT 87. Do you think we're going to have a heel Ziggler or a heel Ambrose leading into SummerSlam? Ambrose ain't turning heel anytime soon.
No, that's not going to happen. I would love for that to happen with Ziggler because he was best when he was a heel.
Yep.
When he's not like, hey, what's going on?
But like, actually make him a heel.
I know.
Like a real heel.
Yeah.
Nadish, what is the chances of Ziggler winning the title at SummerSlam? That's a zero.
1% chance.
Zero. 1%. 0% chance he wins. Mike, doesn't that make SmackDown talent look thin since Ziggler goes from jobbing to Corbin to a championship match at a top four pay-per-view? Yes.
I'm going to say that places the odds of Balor winning at SummerSlam even greater then. Because then it's akin to a title change because Seth was sort of the de facto champion.
Yeah.
God, that'd be fucking rad. He does the fucking thing. Anyways, what? I'm sorry, what
was that? Yeah, he just asked about the thinness, the shallowness of SmackDown's roster.
Yeah, it's very thin.
Tommy Copeland says, since SmackDown's roster isn't as strong as Raw, will the WWE's title's value diminish once the Universal title is established? Potentially.
You know what? I would just say potentially is correct. It all depends on how. Look, the one thing I do like is that the brands have gone all in on separating themselves.
Yeah.
I like that. And so it'd be as if saying, you know, I'll put it this way. If The Miz was currently the WWE champion.
Yeah.
And if, I don't know, who else is lame? Give me another lame guy.
Baron Corbin.
If Sheamus
was the
Universal Champion.
Yeah.
But TNA had a really hot product.
Yeah.
No, Samoa Joe. He's the NXT champion.
Yeah.
He's the strongest of all those three.
Yeah.
Then does the NXT championship make the others look crappy? To a degree,
yeah,
because he's Samoa Joe. But
it also depends on the storylines involved in all three, the belts and who they're facing.
Does it diminish it? I mean, probably, because it's the only, you know, it's the one belt, it's the one world title right now.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's they got, SmackDown has to have something to fight for, Raw has to have something to fight for. The women of SmackDown and the tag teams of SmackDown need some shit to fight for.
Yeah, I agree with that. A King 2343. What do you guys think they will do with Bray Wyatt? I don't know. I don't see what he's going to do at SummerSlam at this point.
He seemed so dejected last night. Like, he lost his family. He lost his fucking family. Like,
Eric Rowan was just, like, 10 people away from him at the open of the show.
Yeah.
Why can't they keep the Wyatt family together, have those two guys still do stuff, and then Luke Harper comes back, make it the OG Wyatt family. Why not do that? I don't get it.
If this sort of plays into the my sort of pseudo rant yesterday, my stunted rant yesterday, is that if that was all done to punish him somehow, then fuck them.
Isn't Matt Hardy going to be on Jericho's podcast coming up?
Yeah, he is.
It makes zero sense.
Yeah.
Why punish Bray Wyatt for having a conversation over Twitter with Matt Hardy, and then Matt Hardy's going to be on Jericho's podcast, and that's fine.
Bray Wyatt has so much money in him that they're not. He's the banana stand. There's money in the banana stand.
He is the guy that I think the success of SmackDown revolves around.
Yeah.
If they can capitalize on him,
yeah,
then SmackDown could compete with Raw no problem.
Yep.
He is the straw that stirs the drink. Is that Reggie Jackson said that, I think?
No idea.
Kevin O'Donohue. Do you think Harper will join Braun on Raw on returning and split the Wyatts evenly, or keep the original three on the same show? I hope Harper goes to SmackDown.
I would think. I'm going to say this, dude. I'm going to say that whatever they're doing with Bray Wyatt, once they understand the sort of situation they're in,
yeah,
he's. I think my shit's dead right now. But I was going to look up. Do we know the SmackDown ratings yet?
Oh, I don't think they've come through yet.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were good this week.
Oh, of course, yeah, because everybody wants to tune in and see what's going on.
Ben Hansen, who would you have join the Bob Backlund family a la the Heenan family type management? So you have Backlund.
I love that idea, number one.
Bob Backlund and Darren Young.
Yeah.
Who would join them? Who needs some life coaching? The Ascension.
Yeah, you got to do something with the Ascension. They're big dudes. I think they can work. I think
they were over.
They were over massively in NXT. Yeah. But do you? How do you change them without the crowd always chanting rude things at them? Remember when Bray Wyatt came back?
And they were calling him Husky Harris. Yeah.
For a brief moment, then they realized, oh my god,
that he was badass.
Husky Harris is fucking dope.
Yeah, they have to do the same thing.
How do you do that with the Ascension?
You get rid of their current packaging and just make them badass.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's it.
Yeah.
Mr. Statist X. Is it just me or does it really feel like a new WWE era has started after a lot of, quote, just mediocre constant level?
I think it definitely, I mean, after Raw, it definitely felt like the actual new era began. You know, they were throwing that phrase around a lot after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But it definitely does. I love this headline from the AV Club. SmackDown Live may not understand itself, let alone the new era.
So you know, and as much as we've criticized SmackDown, I appreciate the fact that they're trying to make it look and feel different than Raw.
Yeah.
You know, like, I appreciate the fact they're trying to shoot it differently, stylistically, making it a different show.
Yeah.
It just wasn't working this first time.
How awesome that giant fist looked.
I know.
You know, it made everything look big.
Mm-hmm. Everything about this show just felt really small.
Yeah.
James Rodriguez, wasn't Shane's arc initially set to end at WrestleMania? If so, what do you think changed and caused him to stay? Well, he was originally supposed to beat The Undertaker.
Yeah, The Undertaker said, no, I don't think so, Vince.
My legacy?
Yeah.
Ronan Leonard, what are your thoughts on WWE confirming Shelton Benjamin's return? Would have been better if it was left as a surprise.
Yes! Yes! Maybe as some sort of open challenge thing. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good way to book Shelton. I mean, I like the club idea we had.
Yeah, that's good.
But, some part of, like, maybe like an open challenge or something.
I'm really happy he's coming back.
Hey, dude, if AJ had said, this is my first member, but we're coming back next week with a shocker.
It would be sort of like the NWO when they were starting their expansion. They were teasing people.
Yeah, dude.
Joining the group.
And can you imagine, like, the dirt sheet the day before? You know, spoiler alert, Shelton Benjamin's going to be the newest member of the Bullet Club. How hyped we would have fucking been. You want, like, instant massive Bullet Club hype?
Yep. A-King 2343. What would you like to see WWE do with the return of Shelton Benjamin?
Have him join the Bullet Club with Baron Corbin.
It's the club, Steve, not the Bullet Club.
Sorry, Dad.
Or at least put him in a feud with The Miz for the IC belt.
Oh, fuck that shit, dude.
Just to get the belt off the Miz.
I know. But he had the IC belt so many times. They need to act like he's above that right now. Because he had that shit so much.
Yeah,
he's a big name coming in.
Yeah, that's true. Matsky 86.
Matsky.
What would you think about Shelton Benjamin mentoring teaming with American Alpha?
I don't like it. I know there are obvious parallels between him and
Team Angle.
Team Angle. Yeah, the greatest. What did they call themselves?
The world's greatest tag team.
Something like that. And American Alpha. But that feels too odd. It's same thing like people saying, hey, Kurt Angle should team with American. Nah, I don't want that. I want American Alpha to... I want them to have their epic tag run and then split up and be massive singles competitors. Yep. Those guys are going to be huge.
Yep. Bree, do you think they should have placed all the women in one brand, seeing how few there are in each brand now? Or give each show their own women's belt, one of the two?
Yeah, they need to give the women their own women's belt on SmackDown. I'm fine having it. Look, you know, I want each brand to be its own complete show, its own complete promotion.
Yeah.
So every promotion has a tag titles. Every promotion has its own women's title. And then bring something new to it. I don't know what to do. Hardcore title? No, I can't do that anymore.
TV no, you can't title. Do that anymore. Tyler McMullen, if you could trade one superstar from Raw to SmackDown to instantly make it a good show, who would you pick?
What person
would you take off Raw and bring him to SmackDown?
Roman Reigns.
Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kevin Owens is the one guy on Raw right now that could spark a fire on SmackDown.
I just want to dump it. Like, I want to trade... Okay, yeah, trade. Well, trade. I want to trade AJ for Roman, or Bray for Roman. I don't know. If you want to make SmackDown good, then yeah, keep Roman on Raw. Then trade.
I think Kevin Owens, bring him over. Give Raw Orton or
AJ, dude. AJ
or AJ.
Put him back with the club.
But I think you're just trading strength for strength in that point. Like, if you want to make... If your goal is to make SmackDown a better show, if that's the case, then give us Owens and the Club, bring them to SmackDown, and then send, I don't know, three other guys to Raw. Doesn't matter who really.
Owens and the Club, and then send enhancement talents. But put Kalisto in Raw. Kalisto, Kane, and Jack Swagger.
And Baron Corbin.
I don't know where Jack Swagger even is, really.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Was Titus O'Neil on Raw?
Yeah.
He was?
Yeah.
He didn't fight, though.
No, but he was standing on the stage, yeah. Oh, okay. Thomas B. Austin Jr. SmackDown gets a brand new WWE TV title. Book it till WrestleMania. It's a SmackDown belt, the TV
title. SmackDown gets the TV title? Well, if Baron Corbin's going to continue on with his I need money thing, then put the TV title on him. And because, like, he gets the advertising money.
But also guarantees him a spot on TV every week. Yeah, that
exactly.
Payday.
Yeah. Payday. Exactly.
Eric Aguilar.
Apollo Crews seems like the perfect TV champion. He really does.
Eric Aguilar. What do you think has kept Y2J from leaving the company like before? Better storylines for him or contractual obligation? He just seems like he's having fun.
That's exactly it.
He just seems like he's having a really good time.
Yeah.
Ashish Chandra. Which superstar or superstars would you have rather drafted SmackDown to even things out with Raw's superior roster? Owens in the club.
I'm good with that.
Frosty Gambino 800. Would you like to see Blutista back in WWE on SmackDown? I don't think Batista would like to see himself back on SmackDown.
Given the comments he made. You know, I love Batista. I dogged him when he came back because of how they pushed him. Yeah. But like what he said about how they treated him. And he said it in the most diplomatic way possible. But man, they didn't understand what they had, mm-hmm. you know, and what he could have done.
I know.
You know?
I mean, kudos to him, because right out the gate, he's like, bring me back heel.
I know.
He knew
understood
how it was.
Exactly what they should have done, yep. And they did none of it.
I know. Michael.
Michael. What?
I was thinking, say, Michael.
Michael.
How would you friendos book a babyface Rusev turn? Feel like he could be incredibly endearing.
We said something about Rusev being a face yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, we just mentioned that we thought it'd be good.
No. There was something we said. Who were we going to have him face for the U.S. title that would then turn Rusev face? Braun Strowman.
Oh, yeah.
Braun Strowman, because he's bigger than Rusev.
Yeah.
And Rusev can go face, because Braun Strowman's like a Frankenstein guy.
Yeah. Party Poison. WWE said in a magazine they would love to see Sasha Banks win Money in the Bank. Do you see this happening?
No, but that'd be dope.
Yeah, it would be dope.
That was the one thing on SmackDown last night that I was so hoping would happen when they said, because, you know, they were obviously Natalya, Becky Lynch, they were both, you know, on the ringside, Alexa Bliss, they're on, you know, on the ring apron. They said, any one of you could challenge for Dean Ambrose's belt. How awesome would it have been if Becky Lynch got in the ring?
Her face lit up when
she heard that too. It's like, really? If that was the case,
I know.
Shit.
Mark Rosser, which wrestler do you think has the best entrance music? He says Nakamura's NXT music.
It's hard to argue with that.
You know, I really, really, really like Nia Jax's music.
Really?
I really do.
That's good.
I think it fits her and her character really well.
I like Eva Marie's new music.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Look at her.
That's so good. God, that's good. That's like the most creative thing that came out of SmackDown last night, wasn't
it? It really was. That's so bad, though.
But it was funny.
Look at her.
All red everything. Eva Marie. She just stood there.
That confused look on her face. She looks like she's wearing lingerie. Like, her little bottoms go down so low. It's like, dude, I'm about to freaking... I know who waxes. You know?
Yeah. Intrepid Player, what are the chances they'll pit Lesnar versus Balor down the road? His guess is WrestleMania 33. It's a little too soon.
A little soon.
I don't know if we'll ever see that match. I have a feeling that after Lesnar's contract over, I don't know if he's going to renew.
I think you might be right about that. He's going to go retire to his land.
Ray Will 16, what do you think of Reigns versus Rusev and Rusev retaining at SummerSlam?
I don't like it. I don't like it. Rusev needs to be doing something better than fighting some dude who's been punished.
Mm-hmm. It's a good win for him at SummerSlam, though, if you were to pick up the win.
You want to face Rusev, have him face Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
you want to face Rusev?
Pretty much.
That'll do it.
Pretty much.
People like Rusev already.
I know.
They're where we were almost immediately with Rusev.
Yeah.
Now they are.
Well, you weren't with him immediately. You didn't like his music. You didn't like how
he looked. Didn't like his fat body. But once I heard him start talking, I was all in, man. You kidding me?
Ryan Dehaney? No. Danahy. Women's division, should they get a new belt, do a tourney, and have the final be a SummerSlam surprise entrance like Nikki, Bella, or Bayley?
The Bellas could really jazz up that SmackDown women's division.
I don't think Bree's coming back. I think she's done.
Which one?
Nikki.
Nikki? You don't think Nikki's coming back?
No, that's not what I said. I said Bree. I don't think Bree's coming back.
Oh, Nikki's got a messed up neck.
Neck, yeah.
Once she gets back, if she's not on SmackDown...
Oh, she will be because of her and John Cena.
Oh, that's right.
They're an item.
They love each other very much.
Zach Duggar.
Live sex show with John Cena and Nikki Bella.
Zach Duggar would like to see Zack Ryder turn on Mojo Rawley.
How depressing was it? Poor Zack Ryder. Did you watch the backstage interview number one from the draft show?
No, you told me about that.
And he's just staring straight ahead, and Mojo is so happy to be there, and he's all talking about the hype bros.
Oh,
and then
man.
Zack Ryder gives him the reluctant fist. And then on SmackDown, he's wearing fucking hype bros outfit.
I know.
Poor fucking, what did he do? Whose cat did he kill?
I don't know. It's a bummer though, man. Nathan Ragland. What tag team would you create a la Golden Truth or Breezango?
I feel like Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley, they should be written into like a Fight Club type storyline. Like
good.
Nobody acknowledges Mojo Rawley, which explains Rusev's Rusev's reaction to him.
Oh, you mean that
Mojo Rawley's an imaginary projection of his id.
Okay. I thought you meant they were
or his ego.
I thought you meant
is.
They were like participants in a Fight Club and
no. It's
talk
Tyler
about
Durden and narrator.
Okay, I like that. That'd be good.
That would be great. Mojo Rawley, because he seems like an imaginary person.
I know, he does.
He's not a real person.
That would be great. Nathan Ragland, what tag team would you create a la Golden Truth or Breezango with stars from then and now? For example, he would like Jericho and Kevin Owens to team up. Jericho.
Jericho. Sorry, what's the question? What?
Form a tag team, kind of like Golden Truth or Breezango. Take two singles competitors and make them a tag team. Jericho is really good.
Jericho would be, yeah, I mean, I can't top that, I guess.
Jarrett Weld. He doesn't think creative took Slater seriously. If booked right after that intense promo, could he be in the title scene?
God, no.
Is he Slater?
I really hope you're joking about that.
Reholes, does it make more sense that Ross is stacked compared to SmackDown if you think about them having to go against Monday Night Football soon? It's an interesting point.
It is an interesting point. It is.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, that... Look. That is a possible.
That's kind of the best justification I've heard yet of
exactly.
The disparity of the talent.
Exactly.
Luke Walker, now that John Cena and the IC title are on the same brand, once Cena and Styles wraps up, will we see him go for his first reign? Cena's above the IC title. Of course, I thought he was above the US title, too.
No.
Okay.
Cena's above all that.
Alan Leahy, could you see Rhino being an enforcer for AJ's new club? Rhino would be okay in the club. He's a world travel guy.
I'm just not a Rhino guy.
I know you're not.
I'm just not a Rhino guy.
Alex Shez. What can WWE do to make...
He can be the cleaner.
Make Styles Cena different at SummerSlam, and if the feud ends, where does each go from there?
How can you make it different?
Well, I would say a cage match, but with the no... But the club could still be involved in SummerSlam. It's an interpromotional pay-per-view.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
You're kind of soured. You've soured on everything more or less involving
SmackDown. No, I just think... I think AJ Cena... I think they can... I don't need to see a gimmick match with them. There doesn't need to be anything more than just a good, solid feud of AJ and more club members beating up on Cena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Cena's... I don't even know how... Wait, has Cena had a good match since he came back?
No.
He hasn't, has he?
He hasn't really been involved in much.
They sort of made allowances for him with his first match with AJ.
Yeah.
In that, you know, he was slow, but they were saying, oh, can, you know...
He couldn't keep up with AJ's style.
Yeah. So,
and last night on SmackDown, he had that one spot where he AA'd everybody, but otherwise he just laid outside around the ring most of the match.
Right. I like how everybody just runs in and walks in straight into his AA and help him out any way they can.
I know. It's the camera work.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that. Tommy Copeland, what are your opinions on a face Randy Orton feuding with a heel AJ Styles for a SmackDown storyline?
A face? God, I'm sorry, what?
Face Orton versus heel AJ.
That's a big money match.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point with AJ, it's sort of like an AJ dream match tour.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I hope AJ stays heel.
Yeah.
I want him to do the club stuff.
I know. They made
such a fucking big deal about it. And then they said, oh, we're expanding. Well, I want to see that.
Yeah.
I should have seen that in the first episode of SmackDown. It got me interested.
Yes.
Next.
Patrick Hayes. Two questions. Do you think WWE is booking AJ Styles correctly? No, they broke up the club. Two. Next. How would you book SummerSlam? Club reunion. Next.
How would we book all of SummerSlam?
I know.
I don't know either.
We said
how we'd book it. We just wholesale booked SmackDown's first episode.
I know.
So that's good enough for me right now.
I am Perfection 2K16.
I am Perfection!
Do you guys think separate pay-per-views will be a good or bad thing? Hold on, there's more of this question, but my email cut off the rest of the question.
The first part of the question, I like.
Yes,
I like separate because I want these to be their own separate promotions in and of themselves.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Alex Martosi, is this the new norm? Interviews in outside the ring. What's next? Interviews during matches between spots. I think an interview during a match would be great.
I think it'd be
done
fantastic.
Right, it'd be hilarious. Like if during a match someone's got their opponent down, goes over to Renee Young and starts having. Her interview him during the match. That'd be fantastic.
Why not?
That would be great. Timbo Slice. Do you see the way WWE punishes their performers or former performers as incredibly petty?
That was my rant. Yes. If they brought Cesaro down to number 22 or whatever.
To punish him.
And if what they're doing with Bray Wyatt right now is punishment for what he did with Matt Hardy, which I'm not entirely certain it is, but it certainly feels like he's being punished for something. Then it's petty. It's bad for business. It's bad for making money.
Yes.
It does nothing for anybody.
Yep. J. Pablo Hinosa.
Just find them and move the fuck on.
There's no reason to find them.
Yeah.
There's none. Just have an agent, talk to him backstage, say, all right, this is not how we do business here.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
J. Pablo Hinosa. His question is, what types of wins do you think there are in WWE? And he says, clean win, DQ, count out, so on. How do you rate them? Like the clean win is the best to have. What is the worst win? The ones in between. So rank the types of win. Like a clean...
Well, obviously...
A clean pin or clean submission is top notch. That's what you want.
I would say a clean pin is A.
More so than a submission.
I would say more so than a submission.
Okay.
I've seen really good submissions. I've seen far better... pin finishes.
Okay.
Far more better pinner.
Yeah. Okay. But a clean win is a clean win. That's
tops. Clean win is a clean win. That's number
one.
That's tops. Of course. Yeah, that's what you always want. You always aim for.
I would say a count out is second because you win the match.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas a DQ, I guess you win by DQ, but at least count out, you have some involvement in making sure that guy is getting counted out.
Do you want to know why you're wrong in that?
Why?
Because a DQ... you get the same feeling as an audience member as you do a count out. However, you have the added incentive of whoever is losing by DQ probably having done something fucked up to do that. Or you had a run in, something exciting happens to establish a DQ.
Well, that's
a
not.
A count out is just.
That's not what we're talking
you're
about.
Just
here.
In the wrong place for too long.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what win means more.
Oh, what win means?
So like, if you beat up someone that they're counted out versus someone runs in and hits your opponent and you get a DQ win?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I see what you're saying. You know, if you beat the crap out of somebody outside and they can't make their way to the ring for 10 seconds,
yeah.
You've done good.
Yeah. Versus someone hitting
you
with a chair.
Okay. I got it. Are there any kind of win? Double pin?
Yeah.
Then
everybody wins. That should be the best. Then everybody wins. Really?
They should make another belt if it's for a title.
Then everybody wins belt. And it only changed it, but it never changes hands. Well, I guess it could, but it's always to be a shared belt, like a tag belt.
Right.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Last question, Adam Fella.
Hey, fella.
How would a feud between Dan Severn and Brock Lesnar go? Beast versus beast.
Well, number one, it'd have to be an empty arena match. Otherwise, it'd be like two bears fighting each other.
Yeah, you don't want people there.
And like, unless, I mean, you'd have to have it in a cage. But then Brock just would eat the cage and eat everybody in the arena. Because Dan Severn fires him so much. But here's the thing about Brock Lesnar, though. He wouldn't be able to win without enhancements.
Mm.
Yeah. Why would he need steroids?
I don't know.
Why would he need that? He's already built like a
house.
Did you
see that WrestleZone article I sent you about how WWE doesn't test part-timers?
That's insane.
I know.
That's crazy. What if his heart explodes in the middle of the ring and they're going to be like, we never tested him? Are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
Are you mental?
We have one video question from Richie Watson. Let's take a look.
Richie!
Hey, what's up, No Country for Old Men? I just watched SmackDown. I was like, seriously? Ziggler in the main event at SummerSlam? Would prefer Bray Wyatt. They always had good matches, Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose. But let's just say, as long as it's not John Cena. That's all we can say. It's good it's not John Cena. But anyway, my question is, you probably already answered this before, but who are your top five favorite wrestlers of all time? Mine is Chris Jericho, CM Punk, HBK, Edge, and Seth Rollins. That's my question. I'm out.
Thanks for the question, Richie. As a reminder, on Patreon, for $20 a month, you guys can have your video questions up on here. Yesterday, we had Jefferson. We had another Richie question. We had James Stratford. So yeah, you guys can get your mugs on the show. Richie gave us a good question about what's your top five favorite wrestlers of all time?
In no particular order.
Okie doke.
Shawn Michaels.
Okie doke.
Scott Hall.
Mm-hmm.
You do a couple. I need to think about this more.
Stone Cold is my number one of all time. CM Punk is in my top five, even though I dog him like a friggin' beast.
I'm
going
to say Macho Man.
Yeah, he's up there. He's not top five for me. So Stone Cold, CM Punk, Lita, because I think she's the best women's wrestler of all time.
That's a good answer, and her look, I just
love that look.
Yeah.
I'm going to say all time. I'll put Scott Hall in there. I want Scott Hall in there. That only leaves one
more.
I'll
put Stone Cold in there too.
And I'm going to say, let me look over here.
As far as I haven't said Magnum TA yet.
You know, he would have been if he didn't get in that motorcycle accident. Who else is up here? Who else do I like? Oh, you know who I have to say? He was always my guy back in the day. Triple H. And he invented NXT. He brought over Shinsuke Nakamura. He's done so much to make shit cool these days. Do you imagine what life would be like without Triple H?
Yeah.
No NXT.
I know.
No Finn Balor. I know. No Shinsuke Nakamura.
Well, I mean, they'd still be wrestling. They just wouldn't be
They wouldn't be on our program that we like.
I'll say for my fifth, Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. I was a huge Kurt Angle fan.
That's a good one.
And that's it. That's all we got.
That's all our questions. Okay, so here's the deal, Larson.
Yeah, explain. You have an idea for a trivia thing to start doing on these Wednesday shows.
So yesterday, our good friend O. Jefferson, as part of his video question, he also sent us a comment, which we didn't air because we forgot to respond to it, because we didn't actually watch the video question while we were doing the show.
Yeah.
But he suggested like a trivia type thing, like Kayfabe Corner. So that's what we're looking for. To finish the show, we're looking for a trivia challenge.
Yeah.
Or some sort of challenge. And his suggestion was something like you tell 10 stories and then the other guy has to determine if they're like true or false about a wrestler.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is a good idea. And I had previously come up with something similar, but I wanted to give Jefferson his credit.
Yeah.
My suggestion is this, and I want to see if you're cool with it or not. And if you have a better idea, let me know. Then I don't care if it's this week or next week, whatever. The new show, the new segment would be called Barry Windham or No.
Yeah.
And it stems from, I had an idea based on Barry Windham. Because Barry Windham's one of those guys who like was never a national name, but he did a lot.
He won titles everywhere.
Everywhere, and he did so much. But then you'd see him and he's like, you know, when he was in WCW, he was part of Mr. Perfect's Rap is Crap
group.
Yeah. You know? And he was Barry Windham. Like, on the national scene, I didn't really know who he was.
He was former tag team partner with JBL.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he did a lot.
Yeah.
He did a lot. It's just, you never really... So, If you look
at his former member of the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you look at his resume, if you sign his resume, then you look at Barry's like, man, he's done a lot. So I got me thinking, I'm like, you know what? What if we did a trivia challenge where it was like, you come up with 10 things, you know, five are things that he actually did, five are things that he didn't do. And I was like, okay, well, you know, that
is a simple yes or no.
It's a simple yes or no.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so the idea is every week we'd come up with one wrestler. Like, for example, you know, it'd be CM Punk. The first week's going to be Barry Windham.
Yeah, has to.
After that, it's going to be all different wrestlers. So, like, CM Punk, you know, he fought Mickey Gall at 203. You know, obviously, yes. This would be down the line.
Yeah.
And obviously, we wouldn't do something that obvious.
Yeah.
So, it'd be weird, obscure things that either made up or you either made up
yeah.
or actually happened.
Yeah.
And it'd be shorter things, you know. It wouldn't be like a whole fucking story.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like a one sentence thing. Yeah.
Like a one sentence thing, you know. Was a 17-time Ring of Honor champion.
Yeah,
that doesn't exist.
Yeah, cracked his skull in an indie show in Indiana or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Barry Windham or no?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's good. Let's do it.
So yeah,
we'll start doing that next week.
Start doing it next week. Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll alternate week to week. So like on Tuesday, if you're doing Kayfabe Corner on Wednesday, I'll do Barry Windham or no.
Exactly.
Okay. So there you go. Named after Barry
Windham. Decided.
I like the name Barry Windham.
Yeah, it's good.
Nobody's going to steal that from us.
Nope.
Anyways, so that's it for today's show. If you guys want to ask us a question, hit us up at the Twitters at RealGoingInRaw.
Hashtag FQ.
Hashtag FQ. And, that means friendo question.
And Twitter, I think today was still being kind of weird about only letting me go so far back in time.
Yeah.
So generally what happens is I'll get the batch of questions immediately following whatever show just aired. So for Tuesday's show, I'll just collect questions immediately following Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday shows, questions immediately following SmackDown.
So what I'll do is I usually live tweet Raw, and I'm going to try to live tweet SmackDown from at Real Going In Raw. And then at the very end, I'll say, okay, you know, you guys want your questions in, and then hashtag FQ. Do you ever check the comments of the show to see for questions?
Generally, we have more than enough questions just on Twitter, so I haven't lately.
Okay, so you got to be on the Twitter to do this if you guys want to ask us questions. Like we said, we have a Patreon for $20 a month. You can get a video question on here if you want to, and those are a lot of fun. We love those. We had Richie Watson's on today. I want to say thanks to everybody. We're at number, Larson, as of today on the iTunes, we're at number 69. That's the highest ranking we've ever had on iTunes. That's insane. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And that's because all of you guys out there have been hitting subscribe and download, and you've been leaving ratings, leaving reviews. And that's true for Podbean, for Stitcher, all that stuff. So that's really exciting. That's really, really cool. Like when you search pro wrestling on iTunes, we're like the number 10 or 11 show. Like
that's
we're sandwiched right now between Eric Bischoff, his new show, and What Culture Show.
That's cool.
So it's really, really neat. And, you know, our audio numbers are going up, and we really appreciate you guys checking us out. So be sure to spread the word, hit the share button, all that kind of stuff. And we want to say thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.